Colon, and she is director of Governor Relations and Communications for the Community Health Center Association of Connecticut, and you and I have both been talking about health care, and we are in big trouble.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about
that. Big trouble.
No question. Deb is in our Touch Points Rehab interview chair. And, Deb, first of all, just tell us what the Community Health Center Association of Connecticut is all about.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. The Community Health Center Association of Connecticut works with our state's community health centers, also called federally qualified health centers, to help them treat 376,000 people across our state by providing medical care, dental care, and behavioral health care. So we help them with their work and make sure that they're able to provide high-quality care to as many people as they can each year.
You know, I remember when Governor Rowland actually started this program.
Well, the Husky program,
The Husky, yeah, the Husky program. And, again, it was just very successful, but more than 750,000 people enrolled?
Yes. In Connecticut, the Husky program, which is our state's Medicaid program, serves almost one in five people in our state, or more than one in five people. So 750,000 people. And that's people all across the age span, right from birth all the way up through older adults are served by our state's Husky program. And it's a model program across the country. It's focused not just on giving people access to health care, but ensuring that that health care has care coordination, focuses on quality, and really wraps around to make sure that people can receive the care that they need to live high-quality lives.
Now, I understand, too, that parents with two kids who make $31,650 to be exact, are eligible, but under what the governor wants to do is to cut it, that level is going to drop to $28,180. Now, these folks are working. This is something that they work, and that's the reason, but I understand that roughly 10,000 people would be left without insurance. Is that right?
Well, this is part of the budget proposal that Governor Malloy put forward. Nobody wants to kick people off of health care. I mean, I think in Connecticut we've really demonstrated a commitment to keeping people on health care, but this is a proposal that would lower the income limits for what's called the Husky A program. These are parents on Husky, and it would lower the income limits from 155% of federal poverty level, which is, like you said, about $31,800 for a parent with two kids, down to about $28,000 a year, which is 138% of federal poverty level. It doesn't seem like that big of a difference, $28,000 to $31,000.
A big difference.
But these are folks who are working generally hourly jobs, and they can churn on and off based on seasonal employment or other reasons that cause their income to go up and down throughout the year. So to have 9,500 parents lose health insurance coverage here in Connecticut, where we've demonstrated such a commitment, would really put these folks in a bind.
Would they then have to go on the health exchange?
They could try to purchase insurance on Access Health CT, but what we've seen in the past when we've lowered income limits is most people do not buy health insurance coverage on Access Health CT, or they buy it but they don't pay their premiums and they end up falling off.
Wow.
The other problem with Access Health CT plans is that they tend to have very high deductibles. So you have a lot of out-of-pocket expenses before the insurance kicks in, and they don't cover dental coverage at all.
Mm-hmm. No dental.
No dental. Yeah. So this is a real problem.
Yeah. So right now, the state gets money for Medicaid from the federal government. Is that right?
That's true.
And then that is dispersed among that helps underwrite the Husky program.
That's right. And we're very concerned as well with what's happening in Washington. So we don't know what Congress will do with the Affordable Care Act or any repeal and replacement plan. That's why we think it's so important to protect the folks who are on Husky right now and make sure that we aren't kicking people off of health insurance coverage at a time when everything is so uncertain in Washington, D.C.
As I said earlier this morning, I was telling Dan, I knew and know some people who are on the Husky program and parents, hardworking and everything else, and when I saw these figures, I said, God, you know, what's going to happen to them. Seriously.
Right. What will happen to them? If they don't have health insurance coverage, they can always come to a community health center. We have hundreds of locations across the state in urban areas. We've got a couple in Hartford, as a matter of fact, in suburban areas, in rural areas, all across the state. And a community health center or a federally qualified health center will never turn anyone away. But we know that when people lose health insurance coverage, they tend to stop taking care of themselves. So even though they can seek health care, they tend not to. And we want to make sure that we keep our residents as healthy as possible.
How are these community centers funded?
We are funded through patient revenue. So when folks come in with commercial insurance or Husky, Medicare, or other insurance programs, they are able to have their insurance cover their visit. And when people come in without insurance, they pay on a sliding fee scale, which is based on their income. Then there are some grants from the federal government, which help support the work of community health centers, and some grants from the state government, which are probably going to be removed this year, and then some private fundraising.
So if somebody is on Husky, or somebody is in the Access Health Connecticut Exchange, or someone is on another program, let's say they don't have a primary care physician, they could go to one of these community health centers?
Yes, they can. They can receive primary care, dental care, and behavioral health care. And what's great about the community health centers is because it's all under one roof and all one organization, the care is really integrated and personalized. So we put the person in the center of their care. It's called person-centered care, and really work with that person to make sure that they get the care that they need to stay healthy.
Now, how might this all change with the talk in Washington and also what we're seeing with the budget in Connecticut?
Well, starting with Connecticut, if 9,500 people lose health insurance coverage come August or could be a year from now, those are people who will struggle to get health care. They may or may not try to take care of themselves and keep themselves healthy, and that's a real concern. In Washington, we're paying very close attention to the repeal and replacement of the Affordable Care Act. There are grants for community health centers and other providers as well, and the whole insurance system could be upended, and that's for everybody. That's not just for people who are on Medicaid or who are buying health insurance through Access Health CT or whatever it is in their own state. That's for all of us. So we are paying very close attention to the discussions in Washington.
You know, I am one that believes that the insurance companies have got to get involved more than they are. I really think that everybody has got to get involved in this to make it successful. It just seems we go down the road and all of a sudden something happens and we lose this, we lose that. And we have got to, Dan was talking about it earlier this morning, and he's right, we've got to come up with a plan. And if you want to call it, you know, what they call it overseas, what they call it in England, and, you know, international health care, we're going to have it, Dan.
Well, but that doesn't solve the immediate problem
that
you're facing, right, Deb?
No, it doesn't.
Well, we'd love to bring all the stakeholders together, and I don't think that we can solve health care for the country in this room, but
sure we can.
We might need a few more minutes for that. But on the more immediate level, we do want to protect those who are covered right now and make sure that they don't lose coverage during this budget fight here in Connecticut. And then we can talk about the bigger picture and how everything is connected.
We got to have some change. We all know that.
We do.
We all know that. Okay, 18 minutes after 8 o'clock, and let us take a 21 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, talking about health care, which is probably, Dan, going to be one of the biggest issues ever this year.
Relations and communications for the Community Health Center Association of Connecticut and our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Deb, I'm sure you're contacting legislators because, as you mentioned, Governor Malloy's budget would affect 9,500 people, or almost 10,000. What are you telling these lawmakers? What are you hearing from the state lawmakers?
We are talking to legislators all over the state, both one-on-one and in larger settings like public hearings. Today there's actually a healthcare action day at the Capitol, so we'll be going over to the legislative office building later on and talking to some legislators. And what we're telling them is there are people on Husky in every city and town in the state of Connecticut. every single city and town. So this impacts people everywhere in Connecticut. Where do these 9,500 people live? That I'm not sure of, but I can guarantee that most legislators know people who are on Husky. They understand the importance of this program to having people access health care, good quality access health care. And so we're letting the legislators know how important it is to their constituents. Additionally, reminding them of the chaos in Washington, D.C. around health care. If you try to pay attention to what's in the latest repeal and replacement bill, it changes almost hourly. And at this time, it just makes sense to try to protect the coverage that we have for the people in Connecticut.
Now, is there a situation where a lawmaker or some lawmakers have said to you, Deb, it's not going to happen, we're going to raise the threshold back to what it was? Have you been given any assurances along those lines?
We don't know where this will fall out, and I know that this is part of the larger budget discussion that's going on at the Capitol. I understand, we all understand, that there are savings that need to be found. We're in a budget deficit situation, but we are just strongly encouraging that this is not the place to look for savings. There are costs that will end up in the long run if people don't get primary health care, preventive health care. They'll show up in the hospital emergency rooms, and we all end up paying for that anyway. So it's a program that makes sense for Connecticut to protect. It's a model program nationally, and we want to make sure that we can continue to cover the people who qualify right now.
You know, just listening to what we're discussing here this morning, you think of the whole picture and just wonder if we ever can get together and sit down and straighten it all out. I didn't realize until about a year ago the desperate need that there was. And a lot of people, you know, you don't think about it in your daily life, but we have a desperate need right here in Connecticut. Everybody says you're from Connecticut, got plenty of money up there. Well, let me tell you something. There are people in this state that are having a tough time that don't have plenty of money.
We actually have some very deep pockets of poverty in Connecticut, and Hartford is a perfect example of that. There are, I think, 40% of children in Hartford who are living in poverty. The rates of poverty in Hartford compared to the suburbs around it are very extreme. And there's a lot of need both for nutrition assistance, for health care assistance, and other sorts of safety net programs that help people who are living paycheck to paycheck and don't know exactly how they're going to make ends meet.
There was a story today, it's somewhat related to Connecticut, but across the country, the number of people, if you ask them to be able to come up with $2,000 in an emergency, they couldn't do it. The vast majority of people couldn't come up with $2,000. So I think it just demonstrates the problems that we're facing here in the area of healthcare. If you can't come up with $2,000, period, how are you going to come up with the money to pay for a deductible, Deb?
One of the programs that I'm really excited about that the community health centers run is they focus, they have care managers on site, and they have community health workers on site who help their patients focus not just on their health needs, but we help enroll in SNAP, which is the old food stamps program, and also make connections to other community-based organizations in the area, because we understand that that people have a lot of different needs. And there are a lot of organizations in our state who can help people. It's just a question of making sure that people are connected to those that are going to serve their needs.
So what is your goal in Washington? You're going down there. What do you want to do down there, and what do you want to see?
Next week in Washington, our goal is to talk to our congressional delegation about the importance of several provisions of the Affordable Care Act. We are realistic and understand that there is a repeal and replacement effort, and so we want to make sure that any replacement protects Medicaid and protects the community health centers so that they can continue to do their good work. But in the interim, we've really got to focus on the state legislators as well and the governor's office and his administration and make sure that they all understand the importance of the Husky program for 750,000 people in our state.
Now, I mentioned the state lawmakers before, but have you also gotten in touch with the governor's office to talk about this?
We have reached out to the administration, and I I do truly believe that nobody in the administration wants to make this cut. That Governor Malloy and Lieutenant Governor Nancy Wyman have demonstrated a commitment to ensuring people in Connecticut and improving the quality of care that's provided in Connecticut. We think that this is a proposal that may have been put out there for potential budget savings, but we're hopeful that they will see that there are other ways to achieve those budget savings while protecting people's health.
How can people get in touch with you or get in touch with CACT?
They can look on our website for the Community Health Center Association of Connecticut, which is www.chcact.org, www.chcact.org, or they can give us a call at 860-667-7820, 667-7820, and we can hook them up with a local community health center to help them get their health care needs met.
Well, again, too, when you get back from Washington, you call Dan and myself, and we'll update our audience. This is, no question about it, one of the most important issues that we have right now. It just seems it grows and grows and grows, and we've got to get a solution. There's got to be a solution, and it can't be a year or two away.
Healthcare impacts everybody. I'm happy to come back and talk to you next week or the week after, and we'll continue the conversation, and maybe we'll come up with a solution.
You know, we have about a minute or so left. We're talking with Deb Poland, Director of Governor Relations and Communications for the Community Health Center Association of Connecticut. What can people do, just from a health standpoint, eating, exercising, to make their lives healthier?
Well, you got it right there. Eat well, exercise, and make sure that you get your preventive visits. A lot of people don't realize that the Affordable Care Act ensured that health insurance companies would cover wellness visits, preventive screenings like mammograms and colonoscopies. Nobody likes to get these things done, but they are the best way to make sure that you stay healthy and then catch anything early enough to be treated and give you a healthy life.
Okay.
Just great having you here, and Dan, we'll certainly stay on this. This has really grown in the last 6 months. My God, it seems we've been talking about it every other day.
You know, and this is me talking now, it has grown and it hasn't grown. This has been around for the last 30 years, and we continue to kick the can down the road rather than facing the issue head on. That's my opinion. And I hope that maybe this is the wake-up call where we can finally put the health care issue in this country to rest. That's how I feel.
I think we will.
I hope so.
No, America's always positive in the end.
Okay.
Always positive.
And we're going to get an update when you get back from Washington, D.C., right?
Sounds great.
Deb, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
You. Come